The Ryan Tuberty Show on RTE Radio 1. Sponsored by Sky Broadband. Get the power to do more with Sky's best ever Wi-Fi.
Good morning. Yes, it's another morning. Thursday this time. We haven't had one of those in ages. It's Oliver Callan here doing the state some service on behalf of Ryan Tuberty on this day, the 25th of March. It's actually like kind of community service. It's 5 hours community service. Probably a bigger sentence you'd get if you'd ruined the country. Anyway, where was I? Welcome into the show. The text number is 51,551. No, sorry, it's 51551. It's just we've got numbers in the brain. And the email address, as ever, is ryan@rte.ie. Now, sad result to the match last night, which I kind of enjoyed. And I really enjoy when there's no fake crowd noises pumped in, because you experience it the same way as the players. The rugby one is a little jarring because you see the players, you're kind of wondering, how come they're not reacting to the crowd? Oh, yeah, because only we're hearing. Yeah, anyway. A sad result, but strangely one full of hope, because there was zero anticipation or even build-up. He barely knew the thing was about to happen. But we're a little bit hopeful now, because there has been a goal after a long time, and feeling good for Stephen Kenny, who feels like the unluckiest banished door. Let's ask the biggest footy fan in the country, President Higgins.
Yes, yes, indeed. It was a night in Belgrade. Even though we've all been locked up for a year, you wouldn't envy that city break now, would you, infer? But wonderful soccer players. Serbia, not an easy team. I didn't know the words, but their national anthem does sound like someone doing terrible things to someone else. Very, very strong players, of course. Lukic, Mitrovic, Pilinic. Ireland's qualifiers now. They're a bit like Joe Biden trying to board a plane. You mustn't run too fast, you see. You'll fall over once, look totally ridiculous, fall a second time and we're bleeding scarlet for you. And then the third time, you know, we're laughing, crying face emoji. But, you know, to take it easy, Stephen Kinney, hold to metaphorical handrail and don't make a total badger's banjo of the whole thing. Might I add also that my dogs are much better behaved than Uchtharon Biden's. Berbua.
Thank you very much. President Michael D. Higgins. Yes, he's right, because in the journal today, Joe Biden's dogs, naughty dogs, are back in the news, because you might remember one of the canines injured a Secret Service agent and they were sent to Delaware. It sounds like a metaphor, doesn't it? Being sent to Coventry, you know, when you're silenced. But no, quite literally sent to Delaware for training. Joe Biden's dogs, Champ and Major. Major was the younger dog, is a rescue dog. Injured the Secret Service agent. But White House Press Secretary Jen Psaki said at yesterday's briefing, the dog met the Bidens last weekend at Camp David. Getting around, isn't this dog? It's getting around. He then came back to Washington on Sunday. So all is well there with Major. And I love the fact that we're just discussing Joe Biden's dog and nothing else in America. That's the main thing. Actually, on the match last night, there's a lot of love around for Seamus Coleman because in the pre-match build-up press conference, he was saying very nice things. He was defending the performances of Shane Duffy. And basically, he's reached peak soundness, hasn't he? So, you know, if they just let Seamus Coleman do the Neffet briefings, then people might actually like what they're hearing. It's just an idea. Just an idea. I'll throw it out there. Anyway, we have Luxembourg on Saturday, don't we? And then we've got Portugal in September. Eek. Whew. But it's to qualify for the Qatar World Cup. I mean, would you want those nice fellas to end up in a World Cup in a desert in the height of summer in Qatar? Because I think literally thousands of people have died, haven't they? Workers, migrant workers in the construction. Now, I never thought we'd be discussing the Suez Canal, but this is the 2020s. So everything you thought that was easy is now just suddenly pants. And never let that thing be said about women drivers, by the way, because this was a lad with an L plate wedging the ship full of fast fashion, and I presume, because we were discussing that yesterday, and all the other stuff you're ordering online and you'll throw out within an hour of getting it from the nice DPD man. Anyway, they blocked one of the busiest shipping routes in the world, because everyone now is an expert on the Suez Canal between that episode of The Crown and by laughing about it on social media. Carl Kinsella on social media, as a journalist, said, we're about 5 minutes away from Stephen Donnelly announcing that all of our vaccines were being stored in the big ships stuck in the Suez canal for some reason. Also, apropos, related to the match, he also tweeted separately that Stephen Kenny has the most Irish haircut I've ever seen. I think it's a very Dublin haircut, actually. I'd go further than that, Carl. And I do suspect some people are kind of almost on purpose doing that kind of a really bad haircut to prove, look, I didn't do a black market haircut. I'm staying the course. And there are some people who are just refusing to get the hair, let it grow. And look, it's my sacrifice. But anyway, by the way, that ship is still there. 24 hours later, BBC News says dozens of vessels are stuck waiting for rescue boats to free the 400 metre long ship. People are going overboard to describe how... Oh, that's a shipping cliche. God. To describe the length of it, I saw four football fields. Someone said it was like a skyscraper lying on its side. Anyway, the ship was knocked off course by strong winds. And Egypt had to reopen an older canal to divert traffic so that it can move again. The blockage even sent oil prices climbing on international markets. Imagine being the captain of that. And it was all the wind that did it. Or leaves on the track, probably. Now, very important. Food is obviously vital for us at the moment. Thankfully, you're not waiting on it to come through the Suez Canal. But the humble breakfast roll, according to the Irish Examiner today, was the most ordered item through Deliveroo this year in Cork. Oh yeah, just in Cork. So in the past year, many of us have swapped visiting restaurants with trying new takeaways in the range of tastes across the country, surprisingly varied. So new statistics released by Deliveroo show the top dishes ordered by Irish people, and the regional variations are interesting. So burritos and burgers are the top two choices nationally via Deliveroo. But in Cork, they don't like the foreign delicacies, you know. They like the humble, homegrown hero. And that is the beloved breakfast roll. So they order, you ring up and you order a breakfast roll from Deliveroo. Does that work? That's going to be a bit soggy when it gets there, won't it? The most ordered dish in Cork, a breakfast roll from Herlihy's Centra with chicken choices from Roosters Piri Piri and Sober Lane, rounding out the top three orders down in Cork. So what happens there? Oh, by the way, further down the list, this will strike a chord now with lots of people down by the Lee. A battered sausage from Lennox's Chipper. Apparently it's a Cork legend. That was also very popular in the Rebel County. But what about the rest of the country? In Galway. So you know Galway, they have the notions, don't they? Because they're students and they all become cool and they learn how to play the Ilan pipes. The most popular thing was a burrito bowl from Boojum. Oh. And then think of Limerick. And you're thinking, yeah, what'll be the... Because they love Chicken Hut down there, don't they? And Donkey Ford's. There's actually like a division in Limerick. The true division is whether you prefer Chicken Hut and Donkey Ford's. Well, the most popular thing in Limerick is a chicken gyoza from Kyoto Sushi and Noodle. Top of the list. Didn't see that coming, I have to say. But mind you, there you see, it's not appreciated how posh Limerick can be. There is a Limerick 4. There's a very, very serious poshness down there. They're with the rugby. And apparently, people are also ordering booze on Deliveroo. Guinness is the most ordered alcoholic drink. Ben and Jerry's ice cream is the most ordered sweet treat. And there's a whole list there in the Irish Examiner. Burrito bowl from Boojum. They're Dublin, Cork, Galway and Limerick. Very fond of that myself, now, I must say, because the kind of the wrap of the burrito is just too much. It's just too nappy-like. It's too heavy. I'm always peeling bits off. Just stick it in a bowl, get a fork. You don't need the thing. You know, it's like, I only realised this recently that I actually don't really like sandwiches. I just like the contents. I don't need, God, I'm going too far. Speaking of food, actually, I want to shout out to two small Irish businesses that have been creating deliciousness in our house. Wildberry Bakery in Ballineen in West Cork. We've ordered, they have the best brownies in Ireland. You know, I'm putting it out there. 51551 is the text number. And we kind of go to West Cork. So, but it can come to us. So we got a load of brownies and I know himself in the house has been doing it for a business and they were very good. And he rang them up and said they were very, very helpful. And I always thought, you know, that it would be too expensive to order. So you'd never dream of it, would you, in normal times, ordering something that far? You think it'd be too expensive? But no, it was all very reasonable. Actually, ours was delivered and the crows started attacking the box. So we arrived and went, well, there's the end of the brownies. But they were so well wrapped. The rooks got nowhere near them. Amazing stuff. Wildberrybakery.com. There you go. Also, now this is going to sound really pretentious, but I'm rather into kombucha at the moment, actually. You know, I had dry February and I was going, I'm going to buy this. And do you know, in the supermarket, you would look at the price of them, I'm not going to get that. But now I'm just buying random stuff that I would never have bought. Synergy kombucha. It's from Gweedore in County Donegal. They're very surfy and cool up there too, you see. That's from DBKB, ginger and lemongrass kombucha. It's very good, very guilt-free. You know, it has to be brewed. You could drink it in your dry robe, actually, couldn't you? Except we're a bit landlocked in my part of the world. No dry robes there. It'd be handy if you're a calf and a cow, though, actually. You know, dry robe. No, it's one for the Farmer's Journal insert. Anyway, Synergy, C-H-I, and that's synergykombucha.ie. It's sold in super value. So bought those products, thought they were very nice. The text number 51551. Somebody says, yes, Simon Harris is on TikTok. What a year, says this text message. Yes, this is actually true. I'm looking at it here. He only joined TikTok yesterday. His first video has, I'm not joking, he has 605,000 views. Simon Harris, 36,000 followers in a day. And he describes himself as government minister, Wicklow TD, optimist. Surprised he didn't include hashtag Greystones gangster, hashtag Bezzy mates with a happy pair. Hello, everyone. It's great. Look at the wave in my hair. That's my wave that I'm riding all the way to the TikTok Taoiseach. Oh, I'm bald. Yes, he's just an influencer now, isn't he? Because politics is about personality a lot of the time. I'd say that for the opposition as well, to be balanced about it. Big personalities there and big influencer stuff. You know, shinfluencers, you could call them as well. Anyways, Simon Harris is there. You can follow him on TikTok, which he spells T-I-C-T-I-K. T-I-C-T-O-K instead of T-I-K-T-O-C because social media spelling has just gone out the way. But he's there anyway. He's very, very, very important. And I say there's some people in Fine Gael high up now. Fellas high up in Fine Gael getting very nervous with that fella on the way. Anyway, what am I talking about? Yes. God, this is... Well, I better read our text before I go to the next story. What we love up here in East Donegal and West Tyrone is a filled soda. It's a soda farl filled with Doherty's sausages. Absolutely lovely, says Sean in East Donegal, where pretty much, I think, 40% of the population are called Doherty and the rest of them are called Gallagher. Wouldn't that be right? Gallagher. And I wonder, you East Donegal, now I wouldn't know that accent because North Donegal, we've already clapped, like, you know, they're very clapped up North Donegal. And South Donegal is where you'll find, you know, the people like John McTeer and Daniel. The best brownies are from Grawlin Cafe in Feather-on-Sea in Wexford, says this text. Oh, God, the brownie wars. Limerick rugby is not posh. It's nothing like Leinster or UK. It dates back to when locals took on the garrisons and all spheres of life love it, says Laura. I think you might be right because there's a very good cross support for hurling and rugby there in the Treaty. Of course, the reason they say Kilkenny is so good at hurling is because they played cricket in the garrisons. We'll just leave that. Little bombshell for you to discuss. Now, yes, Boris Johnson says pub landlords, which basically that's what they, it's a very loaded term here, isn't it? But over there, a landlord is someone who just owns and runs a pub. He says that they could bar punters without vaccine certificates, if you're from certain parts of the country. Apparently, Sky tells us that Boris Johnson dropped a number of news bombs yesterday, but the biggest one was that the pub landlords may be given the power to bar anyone without a COVID jab in the future, and a massive blow to the nation's under 40s who will not get their vaccines until much later in the year. Asked about vaccine certificates for pubs, he said, I think that's the kind of thing that may be up to individual publicans. It may be up to the landlord, basically, yes. And at that EU-UK... story about the vaccines. I don't know what's going on there. I don't think really, not even Tony Connolly can simplify it and make sense. Actually, somebody sent me a very good article, Cathy Sheridan, opinion piece, irishtimes.com. Really good. Breaks it all down and says it's all kind of nonsense because it's interconnected and there's the recipes are going everywhere. And even if the UK tried to blockade it, it would just speed things up. But there would only be a week of a difference. So why can't we all just get along? And because of the gap, of course, this is interesting that the Brits aren't going to be way, way ahead of us because they have to, in terms of the two vaccines, because we're leaving less of a gap. Anyway, it makes sense. Don't listen to what I'm saying. Cathy Sheridan puts it all very simple. There's also a very nice analogy about a pigeon playing chess. Trust me, it's good. Now, what springs to mind when you think of Boris Johnson? This story. Human penises are shrinking because of pollution. warns a scientist. Now, it's a serious story. Penises are shrinking and genitals becoming malformed because of pollution, which an environmentalist scientist has warned in a new book detailing the challenges facing human reproduction. Dr. Shanna Swan writes that humanity is facing an existential crisis in fertility rates as a result of flatates. Oh no, hang on. What are flatulates? I could say it upstairs, but now that I'm on the radio, it's impossible. Anyway, that's a chemical that's used when manufacturing plastics that impacts the hormone-producing endocrine system, or endocrine. One study published in 2017 found that sperm levels among men in Western countries, that's us, sperm levels had dropped by more than 50% over the past four decades after examining 185 studies. Anyway, it's a downward trend, one direction only, on the declining sperm levels. And she believes, Dr. Swan, the rapidly decreasing fertility rate means that most men will be unable to produce viable sperm by 2045, which is, you know, that's pretty scary. This is actually something that Erin Brockovich, yes, that Erin Brockovich, was writing about last week. It's all about, she talks about pollution in the water and the problems with all these chemicals that are in plastic containers, food wrapping and fragrances and cleaning products, to soaps and shampoos, to electronics and carpeting. So it's kind of everywhere, and it's something that is very, you know, it's a challenge. It's a real thing. Now, Leap Year was on the telly last night. Leap Year, Frantastic, love these Twitter names. Frantastic One said, Leap Year is a woeful, woeful, and I mean a woeful film. I can't turn it off. Simon Harris could say that. Gosh, I'm really, really, really excited about that. 51551 is the text number. Ryan at RTE.ie is the email. Good morning to you. Dance your little socks off. Girls, you know you better. Doo-wop, that thing, is the official title, but there's parentheses around the latter part. Lauryn Hill, of course. Great, great tune. 51551 is the text. Speaking of service to the country, Oliver, the 96th Cadet Class Irish Army get their commission as officers today. So congratulations from President Higgins Cohortis Oakley Nicheirin. Lots of people on the, well, not lots of people, but discussion on the Brownies. Brother Hubbard Brownies, Capel Street, Dublin, are TDF, which apparently means to die for. Yes, I know that on TikTok. Rich and dark and soft, says Nuala in Galway. Oh, Nuala. And actually, Capel Street is very cool street, isn't it? It's very, it's got these kind of shops for like judo supplies and loads of furniture, Korean diners, very trendy street, very conglomerate retail chain free, if you know what I mean. Our 17-year-old makes his own kombucha at home for us. It is fab and tastes so much better than any I've bought, says Mary in Castleknock. Of course, in Castleknock. Some people in Castleknock think they're deprived because they don't have their own Fallon and Byrne. That's the definition of deprivation up that way. Sean is back again from East Donegal. He says, East Donegal's lingo is Ulster Scots. It's the area around Liffer, sir, and Rafo, sir, says Sean with a beautiful fodder there. See, he knows how to put a fodder in a text. Actually, a friend just texted and said, my Donegal accent is nearly there. They're never happy, are they? We're back after the break with a great discussion about a book.
The Ryan Tuberty Show on RTE Radio 1.
Yeah, let's say nothing. Anyway, the text is 51551. And yes, and on Matt Haig, I love this book so much. I read it twice. It's amazing, says Fiona Hayes, who's a Limerick listener. Doesn't say if she's posh or anything. Humans by Matt Haig is a brilliant book. Really enjoyed it, says Aoife. And Fergal and Westmead says, sounds like the book covers similar themes to the movie Vanilla Sky, 2001, he says, starring Tom Cruise. How could you forget? It was a great movie back when I used to do good movies. Woo! Anyway, that's Tom Cruise. I remember kind of enjoying it, but I think it's totally, it's a bit of a mad film, isn't it? It's a hard one to get your head around. Now, you might remember our discussion with Orla Chenoweth of Eurosport the other day, and then we got this email from Ruth. And basically she was kind of saying, I'll actually quote directly from it here. Please, let's not make women's liberation become another form of enslavement for the women who choose to opt for full-time mothering. So she was talking about, she was into the feminism of the 70s and 80s, and then she, her view changed when she had kids. And basically saying that the choice that women often make, including staying in the home, should be guilt-free either way. Well, we had quite a reaction. This text says, Ruth is right about the new enslavement she spoke about in her letter. In the past 50 years, with both spouses working, real house prices in Ireland have increased substantially, putting even more pressure on, says David in Dublin. Oliver, there are so many people who would agree with Ruth and the privilege of being a full-time mother, says B. An email, I couldn't agree more with Ruth and her letter. It lifted my heart to hear her words. Staying at home with your young children is enormously rewarding and a bonding opportunity. It's a privilege. I also agree it's something that is difficult to achieve for young mothers today, and that the rules of society could be more accommodating in that area and offer women more incentives and equal opportunities when they are ready to return to work. That's from Anne Wright in Dublin. And I'll finish with this one. I couldn't agree more with Ruth. Respect and support for women and their femininity, and for many, their mothering instincts, is real women liberation. Being allowed to pay into a pension if you take time out to mother is a right that is glaringly missing and hugely discriminatory. So, the email, the initial one was an alternative view, of course. I mean, it's all about getting society to that place where, you know, in a male-female couple with kids who they have discussion about who's going to be at home, rather than it just being the default that the women will have to sacrifice their career and stay at home, or that they're judged for staying at home, and just a recognition that not all families are made up the same way. Let's have a wee track. This is Glass Animals.
Happy home now. See, as you slump into middle age, it's important to play songs that the cool young people are listening to. And if it doesn't drive you mad, then you're halfway there. And if you actually enjoy it, then there's still life in you left anyway. That floats my dinghy. That's Glass Animals and Heat Waves. We're going to be talking about weighted blankets and how they're helping people with sleeping problems after the break.